than what it says on the order of service. Because the faith finders were supposed to go down at 11 o'clock, and it's not 11 o'clock yet. So I'm going to call up Steve to make one announcement about faith finders, or Jamie, and just some of the things that are happening in faith finders. If you just want to say a few words before the kids go down, and anything that you have for us. Hopefully you're hearing me with this mic. Okay, it's really hard to get this. I must have big ears or something, because when different people use it, it changes around, and I just can't get it to stay in front of me. And so hopefully you're hearing now. Will you take out your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles? And we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures, but before we do that, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we are indeed thankful this morning that we can come to this place, this building, Lord, that you have so graciously given Rocky Alliance Church, and we're so thankful, Lord, for that. And Lord, we just pray that as we look into your word briefly this morning, that your Holy Spirit would just speak to each of our hearts, Lord, and that you might just... Father, encourage us, but also help us, Lord, to grow in areas that perhaps we're struggling with. And Lord, we know that you are our wonderful God. You have a plan for this church. And Lord, we are just seeking you to see what you will, in fact, do through this body in our community and in our world. And so, Father, just be here this morning by your presence, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, if you remember, we began sort of a preaching series. And I say sort of a preaching series because it will take a detour down the road here a bit. But we began looking at what was the book, at least, or it's from the book, by Mark Deaver, called 9 Marks of a Healthy Church. And today I want to just look briefly at some thoughts about biblical unity. And so if you'll turn in your Bible with me to the book of Romans, we're going to be looking at Romans, a couple of verses from each of these areas. Romans chapter 14, verses 17 to 19 and 22. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 to 7. And also from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, and onwards, there's some other verses there. And you'll notice in your bulletins, there are little sermon note sheets that you can follow along with. Hopefully fill in the blanks, and that will help you to perhaps look at these verses and look at them later on to perhaps help you in terms of your understanding of these verses and of these scriptures. So Romans chapter 14, verses 17 to 19 to begin with, and then 22. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ is pleasing to God and approved by man. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food or anything for that matter, and those are my words. So whatever you believe about these things, keep them between yourself and God. And then the second verses, we see Paul presenting in Romans chapter 15, his desire for the local church. He says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity amongst yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And finally, we see a bit of a prescription, and I don't like using those words to describe what Paul is saying here, but in a sense it is a bit of a prescription for how the local church can accomplish this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, and 4, verses 1 to 3. Paul prays that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And Paul prays that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then in 4 verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Well, as I said, we just began this preaching series. And it's interesting because 10 years ago, when I was in Acts Seminary out in Langley, preparing to go to the mission field, when Ruth and I were struck with, I had my heart condition, and Ruth was struck with cancer and whatnot. And this was one of the courses, or one of the books we were using in one of the courses on this study, on church health. And it's a great book. I find this book a tremendous book. But it does miss what I believe is one of the chief main measures of church health, and that is biblical unity. And so we want to just look at these chapters, these little passages in light of that today. And I just want to give you just very briefly some thoughts on biblical unity. I have to say that unity has been on my heart for a very, very, very long time as your pastor. And I don't believe that we're totally there yet, brothers and sisters. I can see and I know that there are some things that come between us as brothers and sisters. There are definitely some areas where we perhaps are struggling as a body in. And if there's one area that grieves me most as your pastor, it's this, that our body hasn't totally yet figured out what it means to be unified in Christ. And I don't think that we're any different than other bodies as well. I think we all struggle in this, and I want to say that at the outset. But there are issues that seem to divide us in our body. And they're theological issues that come to the fore sometimes. And our effectiveness as a body, I believe, is impeded by our inability to accept our differences in these non-essential elements of our faith and to move forward in Christ. Well, let's look at these areas of Scripture that we've just been read. Paul says, in first of all, on the topic of what to eat and drink, he says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Paul talks about the kingdom of God only 10 times in all his writings, and that's an interesting fact to me. Totally opposite of Jesus, if you look at the Gospels, he talks about the kingdom of God constantly in all of his teachings. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit are key features of Jesus' reign in our lives as believers. And they need to be a part of our lives as believers. And I think when you look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, you see some of this coming out of there, emanating from there. What Paul is saying is this: reducing God's work in our lives to a mere formula is all about human ends. It's all about our own desires, our own agendas. But the gospel is all about serving Jesus Christ. You see that in verse 18 of this first portion of Scripture. You and I totally exist to please God. He's our Lord. We're his bondservants. Righteousness, peace, and joy that is described in this passage are essential marks of life or our lives when they're transformed by Jesus Christ. In verse 19, we see that God's word tells us we're to pursue what leads to peace and mutual edification. In other words, we're to make every effort to build each other up in the faith. And that is so, so key when we think of these particular passages. Our goal in the church body must be to pursue peace by mutually building each other up. In other words, you build up somebody who, somebody in the body, and they build you up by what they do, by their gifts and the things that are in their lives. Our goal in the church body must be to pursue this peace. The whole body must work together at this task. Our pursuit of unity in our body will take every ounce of strength that you and I have in our beings. And we can't even do it apart from the Spirit of God working in and through us as we seek to glorify Jesus Christ. And we're gonna show just a very brief video clip. It's about 2.5 minutes long. And this video clip kind of brings a bit of this out. And if you're hearing Indian language or language from India and you're thinking, I can't understand this, just watch the video. You don't need to understand it. You'll get the picture when you see it. So.
सर आपके लिए उस पार कार का इंतजाम किया है सर आइए सर ये चल चल
क्या मेन शो
आई हेट दिस कंट्री कुछ करो ना
अब मैं वहां जाके क्या उखाड़ लूंगा
कैसी जाने बूंदे आई जाने कैसा दर्द लाई सामने क्या है ये तेरे क्यों रुका है तू बता रे हो कौन तुझको पार लेगा कौन होगा वो मसीहा से तू ढूंढता है वो ही है तू तू वही है तुझ में तेरा रास्ता है तुझ में तेरा है सहारा तू ही तुझको पार लेगा तू ही है तेरा किनारा तुझ में तेरा है सहारा तू ही तुझको पार लेगा तू ही है तेरा किनारा
जिसे ढूंढता है तू ही रे तू ही रे तू ही रे तेरा मसीहा हो
Well, as you can see, you don't have to really know the words for what's happening there. And it's interesting to me, you know, the Bible talks about faith as a little child, the faith of a child. And here's a kid that gets out, it's trees blocking all the way. And, you know, he gets out there and starts and everybody gets the picture and joins in and they're able to move that big fallen tree. And, you know, I find that whole picture very, very interesting in terms of the body of Christ. I know that... yesterday morning, I was here at about 5:45 in the morning. doing my PowerPoint and the sermon notes and getting that ready, because I really wanted to support Luke Jones in going out and supporting the Rinkers in what is happening out there. And I know Luke put up a list last week, and there wasn't a single person that signed that list. And so I really felt that I, you know, and I know we're all busy people, but I felt, man, I want to go and give them a boost and just be out there and help them. And I began to, you know, Roger shared a bit of the story with us of, well, he shared it with Luke before, because Luke has been going out there week by week or weekend by weekend. But he shared how a group in Pennsylvania, I believe, had seen a website and wanted to bless them and help them by building them something that and paying for it last summer. And so they asked him, what do you guys need? And if any of you know that they have lost a pile of stuff on that reserve, you know, cars, you know, things getting stolen, things getting, I believe, even burning up one time, or all kinds of things. And so the one thing they really felt they needed was a big garage or a big building that they could actually lock up and not have to go through that hassle. So this group from Pennsylvania came down during the summer. They started this process of a post and beam sort of a building, and just, you know, put the posts up and got it going. And then it's basically been Roger and Luke, I think, in the last couple of weeks helping out on this. And it was a picture to me of, again, the body of Christ and how we can support each other and help each other if we're unified and we, you know, we get involved in these type of things. And Luke and I were able to complete a 60-foot section, you know, finish the strapping up, put the metal up, you know, kind of a tin building, 12-foot pieces. And I had never done that before, and we had a great time. I thought I lost my keys, but I found them in my drill bag when I got home, and we started the strapping at the back as well. And I just want to say that because, to me, it's a picture of the body of Christ. And we as individuals need to be doing what we can, using our gifts and our abilities, even if we think we don't have them, to mutually build each other up in the faith. And yeah, Luke is looking for people still. So if you couldn't make it last week, give him a call, and I'm sure he'll appreciate some help in that area. Secondly, in this passage, we see a picture of Paul's desire for the local church. First of all, he says that we need a spirit of unity among us as we follow Christ Jesus in Romans chapter 15, verse 5. I'm greatly concerned that sometimes we don't see that in our body. We don't see that picture of unity, of working together in certain areas. And I have to say that I've seen some metaphorical cracks or chinks, as crack is described as, that have taken place and that do take place in our body that takes away from our unity of purpose in Christ and what he wants us to do. I'm concerned sometimes by some of the things I see happening that where people are disagreeing theologically on issues. Long-standing doctrines in some cases that have held our Alliance background church together for many, many years, and some of the challenges that are happening. I'm grieved to see some areas where it seems like we put the Holy Spirit in a box and limit his power among us and through us as believers. And friends, I believe that sometimes the enemy must feel like he's having a heyday amongst us when that happens. And it shouldn't be so. We should not see these things happening in our body. And I think we have to work very hard at making sure that it doesn't happen. Our purpose is stated further on in Romans chapter 15, verse 6. It says that with one heart and mouth, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That should be all of our desires, to have a spirit of unity among us as we follow Christ Jesus, as Romans 15:5 says. And it speaks of that we need to accept one another just as Christ accepted that. You know, how many, we need to ask ourselves the question sometimes, do we feel accepted in the body of Christ? And I know that sometimes that isn't happening, and we're going through stuff in our lives where perhaps somebody says something or whatever, and we don't feel that we're accepted in the body of Christ, and that really shouldn't be so. Obviously, there are essential aspects of our faith, and these are spelled out clearly. And, you know, whether it's the Alliance Statement of Faith that you get in the back rack there or on the internet, or any church statement of faith, and we need to focus on those things. If we can't agree with these, then, you know, we're really causing division if we push our own views. When we do this, we're removing our ability as a local church to glorify God with one heart and one voice. And friends, I have to say at times, if I could look back over the last couple of years, 3 years, I would have to say that this has been the thing that has grieved me the most consistently. Sometimes I don't feel we're getting it. Sometimes I feel like we're putting our own agendas in above those areas. In essence, we're doing what the Roman church was guilty of. We're basing our faith on matters of eating and drinking, not on righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Believers who walk away from our church, and there have been many, friends, on this basis do so because they perceive inflexibility and a lack of grace on the part of the leadership. And I'm included in this, and I do mention that right off the bat. I know that a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, I preached a sermon where I started off with an illustration on Robin Williams. And somebody walked out in the service right at the beginning. And I got an email from that person, and we went back and forth, and I was hoping that we could meet together. But this person thought that I was condemning Robin Williams, and that I was, you know, saying that he was going to hell or something like that. And that wasn't what I was intending to do. And so I confess that to you as a body right now, that I was trying to say the opposite, that, you know, we need to be reaching out because depression and these things in our lives are very, very real issues. And we've dealt with that in our family enough to know that. But I know that it caused a great deal of consternation with this individual, and kind of made them felt like they were being judged themselves. I have to be careful, and we all have to be careful not to do this. You know, when we realize or when we make mistakes inadvertently, we need to correct them. We need to try to make it the way it should be. Thirdly, Paul's prescription on how a body can have unity of the Spirit. In Ephesians 3:16, he says that we need to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in our inner being. There will always be people within our body who rub us the wrong way, and that's a fact of human life and human nature. Ephesians 3:16 is the only way that we can love them the way that Christ loves us. And Paul's prayer in verse 17, we see that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As we are strengthened by power through His Holy Spirit, Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. That's what this passage is teaching us. And as we yield ourselves to God, the evidence that we're being strengthened by His power will always be the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we look at ourselves and see that we're not exhibiting those fruits, then obviously we better take a better look at ourselves and see which one of them we're not getting, and try to allow the Spirit of God to work through us and to transform and to change that area of our lives. When we're living strengthened by power through His Spirit, our actions will match up to our words and will not come across as resounding gongs or clanging cymbals, as 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. We'll not be constantly seeking our own agendas. Instead, we'll desire to serve one another in love, and we'll love our neighbors as ourselves, as Galatians 5:13-15 talks about. This is truly what life in the Spirit is all about, and what we need to be seeking as the body of Christ. will not be seeking our own agendas, as it goes on to say in Galatians 5:15, and will not be biting and devouring each other, literally being destroyed by each other, as this passage talks about if you read through that. Brothers and sisters, I'm grieved that we are presently struggling in some of these areas in our body. Our church is far from being in a state of unity. Paul's desire for our body, he prays that we be rooted and established in love, as Ephesians 3:17 talks about. He prays that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We can have all the knowledge in the world, as Scripture talks about, and all that the Bible has to offer, but without love, it doesn't amount to anything. It becomes totally useless. I like the way the Message puts it in Romans 14, verses 17 to 19, and verse 22. And I'm just going to read this to you. It's not up on the board, but it, you know, if you go through this, it would be great to read later on. It says, none of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God we are answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. So where does that leave you and I when we criticize a brother? And where does that leave you or I when we condescend a sister? I'd say it leaves us looking pretty silly or worse. Eventually, we're all going to kneel side by side in place of judgment facing God. And our critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve our position there one bit. Read it for yourself in Scripture. As I live and breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will tell the honest truth that I and only I am God. So it says, tend to your knitting, in other words, your own business. You've got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else making life more difficult than it is already, or than it already is. Paul's desire for Rocky Alliance for you and I today and every day is what is contained in Ephesians 3 and 4, verses 1 to 3. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, I, Paul, urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So worship team comes up. It's not the worship team. It's announcement time. Let's just pray before the announcements take place. Father, we recognize sometimes that your word is not, it's very pointed to us. And I sure recognize that, Lord, in my own life. And Lord, we desire so much this for this church to be a place of unity. We desire so much to see your Spirit move in and through us, Lord, to reach out to those around us with the gospel of Jesus. And Father, I know that that is only possible as you enable us through your Spirit to make that happen. So Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in our lives and build us up so that we can build each other up and encourage each other mutually, as these verses talk about. May a spirit of unity exist in this church as we move forward, Lord. And may we just see your Holy Spirit do that work that we cannot do in and of ourselves. And we just trust in you, Jesus, for this. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to call on Steve then for announcements.
All right, I hate to break up some of those thoughts with announcements, but we have a couple announcements we want to highlight this morning. And there's many more in the bulletin. I don't want to read them all, or I might stand up here longer than Gord did. So we have committee reports. If we can have all the committee heads' reports emailed to Diane at her email. There you can find it in the bulletin by September 19th. Also, parents of youth, there will be a meeting for all parents of youth, grades 7 and up, following the service on September 21st. The Haiti team item collection, hygiene and school supplies are still needed for the care packages being brought to Haiti this October. As well, we have goat curry. There will be a fundraising goat curry lunch after the service on September 28th. Chicken will also be available for those who are less adventurous. That'd probably be our family because we have pet goats. So, annual meeting, Sunday, October 5th, following the service. We'll be our annual meeting. Everyone is encouraged to attend, and lunch will be provided. We want to go to an offering time now, so I could call the ushers forward. And we just wanted to briefly mention that there's many needs in our congregation that are very visible. And the last week we had a call for to boost our benevolence fund up a little bit. There's also probably concerns in the church that might not be so well known. And, you know, we as a board of elders have dipped into the benevolence fund a little bit to meet some of those needs. And we'd ask that you'd prayerfully consider helping to build that up again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, that you are a generous God. Thank you, God, that you, in giving your Son, did it freely, God. And as it says in Romans 8, you also freely give us all things, Lord. Thank you for your generosity, God, in giving us so much, Lord, from day to day, from week to week, and over the course of our lives, Lord. We just praise your name. Lord, help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit in our giving, Lord, that we would in humility, consider others as more important than ourselves. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.